This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. It's about to be Medal of Honor Monday, which we're going to get to a minute from now. Then I am going to address this attorney general candidate in Virginia wishing death on people. Surprise, surprise. We'll get to emails, all that, so much more. We'll even try to make fun of Dome this hour. I'll get to that at some point. All that and so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to any of that, though, it's the start of the second hour on Monday, and you know what time it is. It is Medal of Honor Monday time. We take a Medal of Honor citation at this time every week, and we read it. It is important for American citizens to do this. Young, old, men, women, remember your heroes. Remember your deeds. Talk about them. Why do you think societies have prioritized this throughout history? Always, in a society, heroes are prioritized. They are spoken of. Why? It's not just to honor them. Oftentimes they're dead. It's not just to honor them, and it's not just out of respect for their family, although that's really important as well. By honoring the good, by honoring your heroes and remembering your deeds, their deeds, it helps pass those values down to future generations. It just does. Do you know one of the reasons I joined the Marine Corps? I used to watch John Wayne movies with my father. My dad wasn't big on movies or really fun of any kind, but he loved John Wayne movies. And one of the movies we used to watch together was Sands of Iwo Jima, where John Wayne played that Medal of Honor recipient, John Bazelon. And I watched that hero, and I watched him die. I know it was just a movie. And I'm telling you, it stuck with me from my earliest age watching that. It matters to talk about this stuff with your kids. And they're like movies. And this gentleman here, it took a while for him to get it. His name is Alwyn Crendel Case, U.S. Army. He was a sergeant first class. He did his deed back in 2005 in Iraq, and it is it's pretty impressive.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
Sergeant First Class Alwyn C. Case distinguished himself by acts of gallantry above and beyond the call of duty while serving as platoon sergeant with Company A, 1st Battalion, 15th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division in Salah ad-Din Province, Iraq on October 17, 2005. While on a nighttime mounted patrol near an enemy-laden village, the Bradley fighting vehicle, which Sergeant First Class Case was commanding, was attacked by enemy small arms fire and an improvised explosive device, which disabled the vehicle and engulfed it in flames. After extracting himself from the vehicle, Sergeant First Class Case set about extracting the driver, who was trapped in the vehicle. After opening the driver's hatch, Sergeant First Class Case and a fellow soldier extracted the driver, who was engulfed in flames. During the course of extinguishing the flames on the driver and extracting him from the vehicle, Sergeant First Class Case's fuel-soaked uniform ignited and caused several burns to his body. Ignoring his painful wounds, Sergeant First Class Case then moved to the rear of the vehicle to continue in aiding his fellow soldiers who were trapped in the troop compartment. At this time, the enemy noted his movements and began to direct their fire on his position. When another element of the company engaged the enemy, Sergeant First Class Case seized the opportunity and moved into the open troop door and aided four of his soldiers in escaping the burning vehicle. Having extracted the four soldiers, Sergeant First Class Case noticed two other soldiers had not been accounted for, and again he entered the vehicle to retrieve them. Remember, this vehicle was on fire. At this time, reinforcements arrived to further suppress the enemy and establish a casualty collection point. Despite severe second and third degree burns covering the majority of his body, Sergeant First Class Case persevered through the pain to encourage his fellow soldiers and ensure they received needed medical care. When medical evacuation helicopters began to arrive, Sergeant First Class Case selflessly refused evacuation until all other wounded soldiers were evacuated first. Sergeant First Class Case's extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. He had burns over 70% of his body. He survived 22 days in agonizing pain. And then eventually he passed from his injuries. Rest in peace, brother. Second and third degree burns, kept going in for his men. That's why you tell those stories. That's important. Let's do some emails before we talk about some other things. Hey, Oracle, I was so enthusiastic about this shutdown because I thought Trump and his team would just start firing people. Why haven't we seen one person fired yet? I'm disappointed. Why aren't they? Well, there's a couple things. First, there are rules, there are steps you have to go through in order to fire someone even during a shutdown. So let's get that out of the way first. There's a delay, okay? But I'm disappointed too, very disappointed. I'm disappointed because threats were made and not followed up on. That's why I'm disappointed. I'm looking at a headline right here. You know what the headline says? Trump budget chief says firings are coming in 1 to 2 days due to the shutdown. This is the start of week two. As of, I believe, Wednesday, it will be 2 weeks. Where are the mass layoffs? I was promised repeatedly mass layoffs. Over and over and over again, I was promised mass layoffs. There have been a few. There have been some furloughs. A furlough is not a firing. A furlough is, you're going to get paid. Where is it? I was promised this would come. Where is the clean out? Was this only a negotiating tactic to bring Democrats to the table? I want to see government communists fired. We cannot save the country, as we've discussed a million times before, with a bunch of hostile infiltrators inside of the government working to kneecap the Trump administration and attack you and me at every turn. A government shutdown that Democrats caused on purpose is a perfect opportunity to clean some communists out of the government. They must be rooted out. Where are these firings? What is the holdup? Look, if it's got to be mass furloughs for 60 days, Fine. That's not happening en masse. Not at all. Millions of government employees. Where are we? What are we doing here? Because if we don't start with this stuff, Democrats are going to continue to think they're the only ones who've taken a negotiating position. Our negotiating position is, let's just keep doing what we were doing. They're trying to get a win. If that continues, they're going to get something for it, and we will have lost. I'm disappointed too. Now, maybe you need to fire somebody. Maybe you just need to hire somebody. For one, don't go to any of those government employees. Two, go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is what you need. ZipRecruiter is your solution. ZipRecruiter is the number one hiring site because ZipRecruiter saves employers time. That's why. You don't have time to take ads out in the paper. You don't have time to interview 25 people. You need the best candidates put in front of you immediately. You don't have time. You have a business to run. So let ZipRecruiter do it for you. How do they do it? They have matching technology. They identify the top talent and put them in front of you immediately. The top talent. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody the first freaking day. You're frustrated. You've tried everything. You're never going to find someone. No, you haven't tried ZipRecruiter yet. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Do a couple more emails. Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and I'll get to those emails in a minute. And then we're going to talk about this Virginia attorney general wishing death on his opponents and things like that. I just have to get this out of the way first. I'm becoming my father more and more rapidly. We've had this talk before. It's happening faster and faster. And the lack of patience I have for people who don't speak English has become palpable. I'm not talking about people in foreign lands or whatnot. I'm talking about people who work here, people who do business here who can't speak English. So our power went out. This was last week. The power goes out. And it didn't turn out to be a big deal. It was like 24 hours we didn't have power, but it wasn't a big deal. They were doing construction, and they sliced a line. And okay, so during this power outage, my kids had homework to do and stuff like that. So I was kind of anxious to get power back on so kids could do homework. You know, they're at a coffee shop doing it. So I just placed a call, not to yell at anybody, but I call the power company to try to get an estimate. Hey, when do you think the power is coming back? I don't need it by the minute, but I need to know. Like, should I be getting a hotel tonight? Just give me some kind of a gauge. Call the power company. Dude hardly speaks English. Okay, I'm already a little frustrated, but not the end of the world. Okay, so it's my understanding that you would like to add our services. I said, no, who said that? No, I don't want to add any. I'm already a customer. I don't want to. How could you even get that from what I just said? I would like to know. There's a power outage in my area. I would like to know what the estimate is for it to come back. Oh, okay. So I can give you an estimate on how much it will cost to add our services. And now my blood pressure is starting to go up. Is that what I said? Did you even listen to what I said? Are you listening to what I said? Do you speak English? What are you talking about? I'm already a customer. I just gave you my name. You have the phone number. I'm already a customer. The power is out. Hang on. I can check on. I got so freaking frustrated that I just hung up the phone. It was bad for my blood pressure. I hung up the phone. I just kind of went outside and just walked around for a bit. Here's the best part. A couple hours later, I get a text message, automated text message from this power company. It's an advertisement advertising their services, thanking me for reaching out and telling me that I can have a discount if I sign up with this power company. All right, now I'm steaming, right? Now I'm blocking the number. I'm steaming. Okay. The next day, I think this is Saturday. The next day, I get a freaking email from the power company advertising their services, thanking me for reaching out, telling me they'd love to have me as a customer. Now I'm really steaming. I'm blocking it though. I'm just blocking the email. I'm moving on. Yesterday. Remember, I gave you the backstory. I'm already at an 11. I'm already at an 11. Yesterday, phone rings. It's a local number. I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's something. Who knows? Whenever it's a local number, you never know. Is it the doctor? Is it whatever? Answer the phone. Another foreigner who hardly speaks English is on the phone trying in broken English to sell me the power services of the power company that I am already a customer on. Now, Ab is sitting right there folding laundry. Both the boys at the dining room table doing homework. In hindsight, I wished I had stepped outside. I should have stepped outside. I did not step outside. I'm not making excuses for myself. I should have stepped outside, but I didn't. I informed her. I said, lady, I am already a freaking customer of your power company. And you don't know that because no one in your customer service apparently reads, speaks, or understands English. Get some freaking people who speak English and don't ever call my phone again. And I hung up the phone and the boys are looking at me and they're snickering, right? And Ob is mortified, absolutely mortified. Couldn't you just be nice? And now I feel about an inch high. What, Chris? What? Chris said, so what are you going to do when they call today? I'll tell you, buddy. I almost wish they would call during the show. I'll take it. I'm serious. I will take the... No, I will, Chris. I will. What? I'm not going to use any potty words or anything. If they call during the show, I'm telling you right now, I'm taking the phone call, and I'm just going to give it to them right in front of the whole country. I might as well at this point in time. Chris said he'd cancel his service. I said the same thing to Ob yesterday because I was steaming. I said, I'm canceling. I'm switching power companies. And she talked me off the ledge. She said, please just take a day. That's going to be a pain to try to do it. And you're right, Chris. It's the principle of the thing. But here's the thing. She caught me at a moment where I was already feeling bad about myself for having unloaded in front of the boys. And so I didn't want to press the issue at the time. So I kind of just backed away and I said, you're right, princess. You're right. I'm just going to keep them for now. Everything's fine. I couldn't be any calmer right now. I just, please.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Get somebody who speaks English in customer service. And this is why I love Pure Talk, by the way. This is exactly why I obsess over Pure Talk. I swear, it's not just that their CEO is a Vietnam veteran with two tours. It's not just that. They have Americans who speak English who are in their customer service. I have spoken to Pure Talk, I think, 4 or 5 times in my 3 or 4 years having Pure Talk. It's not just great service and great phones and all that other stuff. I love all that other stuff. It is a pleasant American I get to talk to every single time. And I swear they're the last company in the United States of America that hires Americans who speak English on customer service. I love you, Pure Talk. I swear, please don't ever change. I freaking adore you, Pure Talk. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe Pure Talk could be my new power company. I don't think they do that, but if they did, I would switch right now. I would switch just to talk to somebody who speaks freaking English. Whew. I'm okay. I'm good now. Yeah, I am, Chris. I've never been calmer. By the way, you can switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. And guess who you're going to talk to? An English speaker. Because Pure Talk hires Americans. They prioritize that. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Now we'll talk about this attorney general, wannabe attorney general, who wants to kill his opponents. Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. I'm totally calm now. I've gotten over the customer service thing, and I feel better. I had to unload that onto you, and I apologize for venting my frustrations. Now, let's talk about communist wanting us dead. American Democrats wanting us dead. I know this is going to come back to the Virginia wannabe attorney general, but I wanted to give you a little bit of understanding, a little bit of historical reference for what we're dealing with. Have you ever encountered a Democrat in your life, a liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, who will in one breath talk about how tolerant she is and how we need to be kind and tolerant, and in the next breath, she will talk about throwing you in a camp because you didn't get your 15th COVID booster shot? And you, upon listening to this, have either thought, or maybe you even said to her, well, that doesn't sound very tolerant. I'm the most tolerant in the person in the world, and everyone who doesn't think like me should be shot in the head. Seems to be a very common way of thinking in communist circles. I'm sorry, in Democrat circles, doesn't it? Well, I thought it might be helpful to give you a little bit of background on that way of thinking. There is a term, maybe you have heard it before, but I doubt you have. Some people will have. The term is called liberating tolerance. Liberating tolerance. Where did I get this term? Where did this term come from? There is a man, German, surprise, surprise. His name was Herbert Marcuse. Herbert Marcuse is how you say his name, I believe. Herbert Marcuse. He's dead. Don't worry. He's long gone. He died back in 1979. Who was Herbert Marcuse? Well, he was, they call him a philosopher. He was a dirty freaking communist, of course. And he was an academic, right? An academic. Now, sadly, he did not stay in Germany. And can we just pause for a quick second? I love Germany. I've been there one time. I loved the food. I thought the people were wonderful. I thought the country was beautiful. I think they have all kinds of cool history. But it really is astounding how many murderous ideologies have come out of Germany. It's amazing. Anyway, let's talk about Herbert some more. So he's this, of course, surprise, surprise. He's an academic. He's a communist. He's one of these types. Okay. He eventually moves over from the University of Berlin, that's where he was educated. He moves to the University of Frankfurt, which we can talk about, but he can't keep his poisonous, sick mentality there. He, of course, has to come over to the United States of America to our highest levels of academia. Now, pause for a moment. Pause real quick. I'm going to go to a poll really quickly that just came out. This is from American Political Perspectives, okay? If you have a high school diploma or less, you are half as likely to think that violence is necessary in politics in America today. If you are somebody, graduated high school, moved on, did something else, you are half as likely as that person with a graduate degree to think violence is necessary. What? How do you explain that? Well, let's go back to Herbert. Herbert taught at places, maybe you've heard of a couple of these institutions, Columbia, Harvard, University of California, San Diego, and others. Well known, very popular. And he came up with this idea of liberating tolerance. Now, I'm going to read you a couple things. These are his quotes. Okay? Liberating tolerance. What does it mean? In fact, I'll read the whole thing, but it's really the beginning and end that makes the most sense. Liberating tolerance, then, would mean intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. Pause for a second. Let me say that again. Liberating tolerance would mean intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. Let me skip down just a little bit. They would include the withdrawal of the toleration of speech and assembly from groups and movements that promote aggressive policies, armament, chauvinism, discrimination on the grounds of race and religion, or that oppose the extension of public services, Social Security, or Medicare. I know that was a lot of academic gobbledygook. Let me go ahead and break it down in ways that this very stupid construction worker can explain. Liberating tolerance. Real, true, good, righteous tolerance means this. You must be intolerant of anything on the right. Any group on the right? Any idea on the right? He even puts it in here. Withdrawal of toleration of speech and assembly from groups. A right-wing group should be smashed and should not be tolerated. Right-wing speech should not be allowed. It should be crushed. It should not be tolerated. And that is true liberating tolerance. One other thing I will note about Mr. Herbert. Herbert believed in something that we talked about before on this show. America, communism today is what? What is it? The religion of the malcontent. It originally was supposed to be about the poor, right? The urban poor or the rural poor. But how did it instead become the LGBTQ thing? How did it instead become this crazy person, that crazy person, this BLM guy, this feminist? Herbert is one of the early proponents of this. He said these workers, they're not the recruits we want. We need all the people who are disaffected by society. We need all the unhappy people who things haven't worked out for them. Those will be our prized communist recruits. Herbert, he was one of the leaders in this, and Herbert was followed by ardent American communists like Angela Davis, who I know you've heard of before. Liberating tolerance. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, when she talks about how nice and kind and respectful and tolerant she is, and then in the next breath, she talks about shooting anybody she disagrees with. She talks about throwing you in a camp. She talks about all these horrible things, taking your kids away from you. She doesn't think she's being intolerant. She thinks she's practicing liberating tolerance, as has been taught to her by our communists in our society, most definitely in our academic institutions. Our media believes in liberating tolerance. Our Democrat politicians believe in liberating tolerance. Our professors teach it to Aiden, Jaden, and Braden when you send them off to Harvard for $50,000 a year. And now your liberal Aunt Peggy believes there's nothing wrong with thinking you should be shot or thrown in prison for your beliefs. For her, that's true tolerance. That's liberating tolerance. And that brings us to this scumbag in Virginia. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I swear I'm going to get to more emails at some point in time here, and I'm going to talk about this judge letting another scumbag run free, and we're going to talk about great things like Steak and Shake and China attacking us. Actually, that's terrible. All that and more is still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. I did want to address this story, though, which is obviously huge. I'm sure you've already heard about it by now. Jay Jones, he is running to be Attorney General of Virginia. He was caught text messaging with a lady, a Republican, and talking about his Republican counterparts like this. Quote, these are direct quotes from him. I mean, I do think Todd and Jennifer are evil and that they're breeding little fascists. He then says, after the lady says, you were talking about hoping their children would die. And he says, and I quote, "Yes, I've told you this before. Only when people feel pain personally do they move on policy." This is that liberating tolerance we were just talking about, by the way. And a nice little coup de grace here. He talks about peeing on their graves if they die before him. And then he says, and I quote, "Three people, two bullets." By the way, this is the Gilbert family. Those are the Republicans. "Three people, two bullets. Gilbert, Hitler, and Pol Pot. Gilbert gets two bullets to the head." Now, it is not in any way, you listen to the Jesse Kelly Show. It's not in any way a shock to you that a Democrat feels this way. By now, especially in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination and everything else, you are well aware that this is mainstream Democrat thinking. They are the ultimate liberating tolerance party. They believe violence, your death, the death of their political opponents, they believe it is an appropriate means to an end. It is an appropriate means to fight the revolution. This is how Democrats think. Democrats, as we have discussed before, get, I'm air fingers quoting this, caught talking like this all the time. They're always caught talking like this because this is how they talk, and this is how they talk because this is how they think. And every single person who lives or works in Democrat circles has heard them speak like this over and over and over again. "I hope he dies. I hope someone kills him. I hope he gets hit by a car." Democrats are violent people. They believe violence is necessary for their revolution. You want to hear a quote? A man who knows a little something about communists and how they think. Alexander Solzhenitsyn is his name. You see, he was a guest in the Soviet gulag system. He watched as those animals murdered and tortured people. And this is how they thought. Quote, "Revolutionaries are not to be judged by the yardstick of old-fashioned morality. To a revolutionary, everything that contributes to the triumph of the revolution is moral, and everything that hinders it is immoral. I have been telling you for 7 years behind this microphone that we are dealing with committed communists. Set aside the idea of Democrat. Set aside the idea of liberal. Do those people still exist? Oh, of course they still exist. They're very, very quiet. They're quiet. They're powerless. They're going along with the herd." Mainstream Democrat thought is that their opponents deserve to die for what they believe. And by the way, Jay Jones hasn't lost endorsements. I heard from a lady today. She's interviewing people in Virginia. She's interviewing Democrats. Said she had spoke to over 20 of them and asked every one of them if they were bothered by his comments, and not a single one was. None of them were bothered. Here's the Speaker of the House in Virginia speaking from a church pulpit, by the way.
"So we need to understand something. We have to be mature in our thinking and how we vote. We can't get distracted because they want us to get distracted by the text message here or something else. Stay focused."
Stay focused on what? Well, the revolution, man. Can't be worried about some guy who wants to shoot kids. What's the big deal, man? We're fighting a revolution, baby. Some kids are going to have to die. Some people are going to have to die. We're fighting a revolution. How sorry was Jay Jones? So this apology is an all-timer.
"A lot of politics is about trust. I can think of nothing more horrific than a mother having to hold her dying child. How can Virginians trust a man who said something so horrific, so callously?"
"Well, again, I am so deeply, deeply sorry for what I said, and I wish that it hadn't happened, and I would take it back if I could."
I wish that it hadn't happened. That's so great. I'm going to pull that out next time Ob finds me raiding the kids' fruit snacks. I've done that before. Have I ever told you that? The kids have these incredible little fruit snacks. Annie's? I don't know. They're supposed to be healthier. There's no possible way they're healthier. They're like the greatest little fruit snacks in the world. And I have once or twice, I don't do this often, I have once or twice raided the pantry and just destroyed like 5 or 6 bags of them. And Ob will come and, did you eat all the fruit snacks of the kids? Did you eat all the kids' fruit snacks? And I'm totally going to pull this out. Verbatim maybe next time.
A lot of politics is about trust. I can think of nothing more horrific than a mother having to hold her dying child. How can Virginians trust a man who said something so horrific, so callously?
Well, again, I am so deeply, deeply sorry for what I said. And I wish that it hadn't happened, and I would take it back if I could.
I'm going to do that next time. Hey, I wish that it hadn't happened. It happened, but I wish that it hadn't happened. Democrats keep getting caught talking like this because this is how Democrats think now. The era of the Democrat, the liberal is gone. It's gone. The era of the communist is here. And you can choose to believe what I'm about to tell you or not, but it's true. America's Democrats are every bit as vicious and murderous as any communist who ever walked the streets of the Soviet Union. They just haven't had the opportunities yet. That's a fact. Here's another fact. Rough Greens is America's number one dog supplement. That's a good fact. That's something that should make you feel good. It makes me feel good to give that big fluffy idiot Fred Rough Greens. And he needed it today because every now and then we have to go get him groomed or his hair gets matted. And that's usually pretty traumatic for Fred. He just lays down and whimpers the rest of the day. And at least now he won't have any problems with his dinner. Dinner would normally come back up when that happened because Fred has an upset stomach. Rough Greens took care of that. I'm sure it's all the probiotic stuff they put in there. You want to have a dog that lives longer? Sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. You want to have a dog that has better energy, less scratching, better coat, better breath? Sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. Number one, for a reason. They will give you a free jumpstart trial bag at roughgreens.com with the promo code Jesse. Or you could call them 214-ROUGH-DOG, promo code Jesse. Let's get out of this gunk and do some emails. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.